by Acts chapter 9. Now, I'm sure many of you have read this chapter many times and also heard the story of the conversion of Apostle Paul before his conversion became Saul. Now, there are many stories like Paul in our time too. I remember when I was a young person, I watched it from a movie called The Cross and the Switchblade. And I also read the book The Cross and the Switchblade. It's a story about how this pastor, David Wilkinson, went into a rough area and shared the gospel with many of those kids, those three kids. And one of those gangsters, the leader, was Nicky Cruz. And how the Lord used the pastor to speak to him about the love of God and how God can help him in his life. And Nicky Cruz slowly came to know the Lord. Now, no one expects him to really be converted, because as a gangster chief, if he gets converted, the gang will turn on him and kill him. But he trusted the Lord. He says, if your God is so great, I'll believe in your God, and I also believe that your God will protect me, and I'll take this step to be a Christian. And true enough, when Nicky Cruz became a Christian, before he called his whole gang together and he stood there and said, look, fellas, I got something to tell you. And he went on to tell them that he decided to quit against the gang. Not because there is another gang to join, but he said, I've turned over a new leaf. I want to be a new man. Because I met Jesus Christ. He has changed my life around. And then he says, I'm going to walk out here. And if any one of you who wants to know more about Jesus, you come and follow me. So as he walked through the crowd, there was silence. But no one hurt him or anything. Because sometimes he expects that someone would come behind and bash him and so on. But later on, as the story goes, in fact there were some of the members in the group wanted to plunge a knife in his back for betraying the group. But something held them back. And this story goes on. And from there on, one by one, a member of Nicky Cruz, the gang, came to know the Lord. It's a real story. And that kind of story touched my heart, and as well as many other people. As a young person, he was excited to see God can change a bad person into a good person. And there are many other stories you can also hear if you write in the book of conversion stories of a church member. How many of us were brought out of the darkness, as it were, of sin, of the pit of this sin and control of the devil. We come out of this kind of area, and God has put us into a new sphere, a sphere of freedom, deliverance, and happiness. And we can choose to live the way God wants us to live. That's conversion. Now, Acts chapter 9, the subject matter is evangelism and church growth. It's a continuation. And here we find that the gospel message of our Lord Jesus has the amazing power to touch and change lives of many sinful people. Yes, the gospel of our Lord Jesus is not outdated, it's not old-fashioned, but it's still today the power of God to change lives. If any person, man or woman, young and old, will open their ears and their heart to listen to what God has to say to them. No person, whether it be a woman or a man, is beyond the reach of God's saving arms. No one is beyond. No one cannot be saved. Because we have an Almighty God. He can reach the heart and mind of the lowest and the worst of all sinners. Romans chapter 10 verse 13 tells us, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Anyone. The responsibility lies on us as a person. Do we know the Lord? Do we hear the voice of God? Do we hear what God is offering us through Jesus Christ? If you have seen and heard what God is saying to you, and the Holy Spirit is touching your heart and asking you to come forward, then it's our responsibility to call upon the name of the Lord. And when we call upon the name of the Lord, we will be saved for eternity. Jesus will take away our sins. Jesus will change our life anew again. Now, in Acts chapter 9, there are two scenes that we like to look at. The first scene is the conversion of Paul, from verse 1 to verse 30. The second scene, if time permits, is about Apostle Peter and his ministry in Judea, from verse 31 to 42. And here we find that in this chapter, Acts chapter 9, we find that God has His ways of selecting certain people for His special mission. I'm sure if you are one of those in a selection board, and if Saul was put there for you to as a candidate, some of us would just pass him by and say that no, I won't select Saul to be part of the team, because he's a traitor, he's an enemy of God, of Christianity. Why should he be chosen into the team? But in God's eye, He saw beyond the human eye. He looked into Saul's life and see in him there is great potential that this young man can be a great instrument in the hands of God to use. Now this is where we will go into the study of Acts chapter 9. Now firstly, we see in verse 1, meanwhile Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked for letters to the synagogue in Damascus, so that if he find anyone, so that if he find any there who belong to the way, whether man or woman, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. Now we turn back to chapter 8. Verse 1, we find this is what happened before. On the death of Stephen, there was a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem, and all the believers except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. And verse 3, but Saul, the Pharisee, began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off men and women and put them in prison. Now this is the man Saul, the Pharisee. He was a spiritual leader in his community on that day. Now Saul is a very upright man, and he's well trained in his Jewish religion. And here he believes blindly what people told him about Jesus. He believed that Jesus of Nazareth was misleading the Jews away from their religion. So when he meets the apostles and disciples of Christ who are preaching about Jesus and His resurrection and presenting Him as the true Messiah, he got very mad. He got very angry. He turned very hostile. And he saw these disciples and the apostles as dangerous heretics who were out to destroy the Jewish faith. and therefore he takes upon himself his duty to lock up every one of them, the Christians in jail. And so persecution begins to spread in Jerusalem. And when persecution spread, all the believers who are not living in Jerusalem ran out and went back. Some went back to their hometown out in Samaria and Judea, and others even moved out of Jerusalem. And here Paul realized that as the Christians moved out of Jerusalem and went to other smaller towns in Judea and Samaria, amazing thing happened. We see in chapter 8, verse 4, those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. For example, Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed Christ there. And as a result of his preaching, there was great conversion. The Christians did not stop did not let the persecution and the threat close their gap. Where they go, they continue to share the gospel message, and everyone in that town heard the news, and there was more conversion. And this infuriated Saul. Said, "What are these Christians doing? The more I send out the fire, the more spark create, and this spark starts new fire all over the place, something like bushfires." Now, this is great, isn't it, for evangelism? But to Saul, this is terrible. So Saul stayed upon him and said, "Look, you went to the high place. Give me letters. I'll go to Damascus to catch up all these people and bring them back to Jerusalem." Now that was Saul's plan. But in heaven, God looked down and realized that Saul is going very far out of the way. God saw in Saul a genuine young man who has a genuine zeal for God, Jehovah, but his zeal has been misdirected. And the Lord saw in him that the wickedness in him is not caused by kind of sin and hatred, but because of misguided sort of teaching. And the Lord wants to save Saul from going too far. So on the road to Damascus, we read, the Lord Jesus met Saul. The light came down from heaven and shone around Saul and his companions. And Saul was stopped dead on his track. In other words, he fell down on the spot and couldn't see. The light was so blinding, and he heard a voice, "Saul, Saul, why did you persecute me?" And Saul just looked at him, "Who are you, Lord?" Interesting that Saul should say, "Who are you, Lord?" Instead, who is there? For us, we say, "Who is there?" You know? But he said this word, "Who are you, Lord?" In his heart, he heard the voice of God, and he realized that he was in the presence of God. Jesus was there. And the voice replied to him, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." Wow, this is something new. Jesus talking to me. I thought Jesus was dead and gone. But if this Jesus is talking to me, then what has happened in Jerusalem when Jesus resurrected from the dead and gone to heaven and so on, are true facts. And here Saul realized that boy, he has been chasing a wrong wrong track. Now, to get a full account of what Jesus spoke to Saul, we turn to Acts chapter 26 and we read from verse 14. He said that we all fell to the ground and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goad." Then I asked, "Who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," the Lord replied. "Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen of me and of what I will show you. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from the darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive the forgiveness of sin and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me." Paul heard that message from God. Paul heard that God has come, Jesus has come to him especially to save him and put him in the right place and give him a new direction and a new mission. And here we find that Saul, he didn't resist. All he did was he obeyed the voice of God. I mean, we are told that when he got up from the blinding light, he was blind. He couldn't see. Now, sometimes, for some of us who have such encounters with God, and then after we wake up, say, was that a dream? You know? And if it's a dream, say, "Oh, never mind, it's just a dream. I won't take too much attention of it." But for Saul, when that blinding light disappeared, when the voice was gone, he realized he was blind. He couldn't see. Now that blindness that God gave to Saul was a reminder to Saul that what had happened is not a dream. What happened is real and is true. Jesus spoke to him. And that reminds Saul that good, that the Lord is calling him. And therefore, the blindness stayed. And here we find that Saul made his way to Damascus, and then he stayed there and waited for God to send some help. Now we pause for a while here. Now, in our lives, from time to time, as a church and as a Christian, we must be aware that there are some people whom you do not know, and they can be your unseen enemy. These people can be anti-God or anti-Christianity, and they sometimes just hate you just because you belong to Jesus. And we as Christians should not be surprised that there are such people who hate us just because we are Christians. And these people can be very dangerous people for us to meet up with. And therefore, we need to pray that the Lord will give us some guidance and protection and know how to handle them. And then another thought is this. You may have friends whom you are praying for many years, that the Lord will touch his life, touch the life and save them. Now be encouraged that, like Paul or like Saul, there's no sinner who can run away from God. There's no place that a sinner can hide from God. And when you start praying for the salvation of that person, you find that God will work. And God will keep track of that person. And God will not let him go or let her go until that person makes a personal decision to receive or to reject the Lord. So, this is where here we see that God is the ultimate of our Savior. Now let's move on. In chapter 9, verse 10, when Saul came into Damascus, he spent 3 days there, not eating anything, not drinking anything. What was Saul doing? Well, our commentary says that probably he was many pages, running over in his mind what has actually happened, running over his mind such as memory of theology, about the Old Testament, talking about the Messiah and Jesus coming into his life as Messiah, trying to see the whole truth. And here we find that this, during 3 days of thinking and meditating, God spoke to another person. God spoke to Ananias. And God told Ananias in verse 10, one verse says, go to the house of Judas on Street Street and ask for a man from Tarsus called Saul, for he is praying. In a vision he had seen a man named Ananias come and place his hand on him to restore his sight. Here we find that God prepared another disciple, Ananias, to go and help Saul. Now Ananias was, so as you can say, was surprised to hear the voice of God, and was more surprised to hear that God told him to go and see this man Saul and help Saul. And this is what Ananias replied. He said, Lord, I have heard many reports about this man and what he intends to do. And here Ananias was very sort of fear anxious and fearful. God, am I hearing right that you're asking me to go and help Saul? He is your enemy. He's here to sort of destroy your church and your disciples, and you're asking me to help your enemy. And here the Lord told Ananias, you go, because that man is my chosen vessel, and I'm showing him how he should serve me and suffer for my name's sake. And here we find that Ananias, in obedience to God, trusting God, he went and helped Saul. And when he went into the house, he saw Saul there. He said to Saul, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus appeared to you on the road, has sent me here to help you. And he prayed for him, and what happened? Saul was spiritually converted. The scale of it dropped from his eyes, was able to see, and when he felt the deliverance, Saul immediately seek for baptism as a sign of commitment and dedication to God. Now, Ananias is an interesting character. It's the first time you see his name being mentioned, and you find that Ananias is a faithful disciple of the Lord. And God here to call him, giving him his privilege to go and help Saul. Now, taking from his example, there is an application here for us to learn. Sometimes God has assigned dangerous tasks for us to do. For example, like going to Saul and help Saul to revive and to come to hear the message of God. Now, you and I must learn to trust God, trust His judgment, His knowledge, that He knows what is going on. And that when God asks us to do such dangerous tasks, we must also believe that God will provide the necessary resources to fulfill the mission. Now the question for us is, will we say, yes Lord, I'll go and do it straight away? Or will I say, Lord, let me think about it. Let me go and gather all the facts to make sure that this person is truly turned around, and that he has no sort of bodyguard is waiting to set a trap for me when I approach a person, and etc. etc. But here we see Ananias, in obedience to God and in faith, he went and helped Saul. And this is very important for us. When we seek to serve the Lord, there are some assignments that God gives to us that is, to you, may be a very dangerous and unreasonable task. The question is, will we say yes to God and say, Lord, I'll do it for you? Now, moving on, upon his conversion, we find that Saul regained his strength and he got up. In verse 20, we find that Saul at once began to preach in the synagogue that Jesus is the Son of God. And all those who heard him were astonished and asked, "Isn't he the man who has raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call his name?" And now what happened in verse 22? Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Jerusalem, in Damascus, by proving that Jesus is the Christ. Wow. That is a true sort of evidence to you and me that Saul was suddenly converted by the Holy Spirit. He was a changed person. No more do he go after the Christians and pull them down because they believe in the Lord. He himself now go and proclaim the message that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is God's true Messiah to the Jews. And here we read the word that he grew more and more powerful in his preaching, and he baffled the Jewish people, probably in the synagogue and so on. And he said, "Wow, how did this man turn around overnight?" And because of his enthusiasm and keenness to preach the gospel, they realize that now the enemy of the church is becoming an enemy to the synagogue. And they say, "We must do something to him. If we don't put him down, he will sort of empty the synagogue of our membership, and more Jews will believe in the Lord Jesus." As a result, he sought to kill him. And here we find that the disciples in Damascus, in a secret way, helped Saul to escape to Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, when Saul came among the disciples, Saul was rejected by the leaders and by the members in Jerusalem. None of the Christians wanted to receive him. Again, they were afraid. They were afraid that Saul may be a spy, pretending to be a Christian. But God, again, in his own agent, God prepared another disciple by the name of Barnabas. Barnabas took the initiative and visited Saul and sat him down and listened to Saul. "Saul, tell me your story." And then Saul poured out the story of his encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus and how God had changed his life and what he has done in Damascus. Barnabas believed Saul. And Barnabas accepted Saul and brought him into the fellowship of the church. And because of Barnabas' confidence in Saul, the rest of the apostles and the believers in the church at Jerusalem accepted Saul and welcomed him in the faith. And what we find also interesting is this. In chapter 9 and verse 28 and 29, we find that Saul did not just sit down and do nothing, and went, but we find that here, Saul continued to speak boldly in the name of the Lord. He talked and debated with the Grecian Jews, but they tried to kill him. When the brothers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. Again, you find Saul. His conversion experience was so exciting that he cannot sit down and do nothing. Now, I remind myself of the time when I became a Christian. The kind of joy that is in my heart to experience that how God has helped me and saved me from my bad habits, from my bad ways, and I'm out to tell everyone I knew about the Lord Jesus. I remember my sister came home one day from Sunday school. She was a young Christian, and she started telling me about Jesus. At that time, my family were all Buddhist, and she was the first Christian. Boy, she get it hard from my father and from my grandmother. He said, "You silly girl, all the things go here, go to church, and you become a Christian, now you are coming to the family to disrupt our family faith. You know, you insult our ancestors. Who is going to worship your grandfather, grandmother, or your ancestors? The accusation went on. Little did my father realize that when all these things was going on, my sister did not stop telling us about the Lord Jesus. In his own simple way, she keeps telling us about the story of Jesus. Myself and my brothers, our ears were very wide open. Wow, this is something new. And soon, one by one, came to know the Lord. It was good even to see that my grandmother, in her later days, came to know the Lord. And so was my mother. And this was something that thrilled my heart, that the gospel of the Lord Jesus is able to save many of our family members, even though sometimes very hard. We prayed for many years for my mother's salvation and for my grandmother, and the Lord saved them. Now, I've been a Christian now for good old 30 over years, and still going strong. The assignment is not, the fire is not as strong as before, but it's still that kind of fire in me to share the gospel. But it's very important, brothers and sisters, for us to check within us. Do we still have the fire in us to go and tell others about the gospel of the Lord? The excitement of freedom from sin, from the bondage of Satan, and the freedom to follow God and do things what is right and good for others is a gift from God. And this is where you and I should continue to be excited to go and share the good news of God's salvation to others. You may not have to preach the whole gospel. Just to say, look, I know you have trouble. Let me pray for you, that the peace of God be with you. Or just simply say, you know, God loves you and God cares for you. Have this in mind. Speak to God. And then later on, this will lead you to another step. And another step. And soon one day say, you know, God, you talk so much about Jesus and His love. Maybe it's time for me to listen what Jesus do for me, and I want to be one of His friends, His child. And that would be a great day for us, to see someone opening his heart to receive the Lord Jesus. Well, time is caught up, but what can we say? Well, the thing is this. From the life of Saul and his conversion, we can see that there's someone that God has appointed to be His disciple and His servant. And sometimes in our way, we cannot see the potential in that person. But we find that in God's eye, He sees it. And God may call some of us today to go and bring that person to Him. But to so it is our responsibility to obey what God has called us to do and not to reject that person. And I find that in a testimony of many other Christian preachers, leaders, successful pastors and evangelists, behind every one of them there is always a humble start. Someone took notice of that man, that woman, and someone cared for them. Someone gave them love. Someone showed them the way to God. And that person was later on groomed, and the Lord helped them to grow up, and they became a great missionary, a great evangelist, a great person. It may not be great in terms of what we see, their greatness in the world, but someone whom the Lord can use and be a blessing to others. But just reading the book of St. Augustine. St. Augustine can say he's a playboy of his time. Right? You know what a playboy is, right? And one of the things that he couldn't give up is his his desire for the flesh. He loved women. He loved sexual pleasure. He could not give up any of the. He could give up everything except for that. And his mother Monica prayed for him for many, many years. Until one day, he come to the end of the road and said, "Look, life is so empty." And he had to turn to the Lord. And he heard, as it were, he heard a small voice of a child saying, "Take up the scripture and read. Take up the scripture and read." And the Holy Spirit prompted him to turn to Romans. And from there he read one verse. And the verse says, "Put away all your wantonness, all your evil and bad habits, and put on the Lord Jesus." And because of that, was the voice of God came so clearly, he realized that he cannot escape. And he gave his heart to the Lord. Yes. And we read later on that St. Augustine became a great bishop of his time, a great Christian leader. Yes, there are many people whom God can use today in our church, in your church, in my church. But would you be an instrument to bring that person to the Lord?